With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Industry Review with One for All gift cards from Unpost. Tax-free staff rewards up to €1,500 per employee per year. Available online or at your local post office.
Now, for this week's Industry Review, we're going to take a deep dive into Ireland's recruitment landscape, a sector that's evolving rapidly as talent shortages, hybrid work, and shifting employee expectations reshape how organizations hire. To help us unpack what's happening in the jobs market, I'm joined by three professionals and leading voices in the Irish recruitment sector. Frank Farley is the CEO and co-founder of Sigmar Recruitment. Rachel Tubridy is the managing director of PeopleSource. And Elaine Brady is the managing partner at Barden in Leinster. You're all very welcome to the program. Frank, we'll start with you. I know you a long time. You got me many a candidate back in the early days. Tell us a little bit about Sigmar and then tell us about, maybe at a high level, what you think the market's at or where it's at as we talk.
Sigmar are an Irish recruitment agency. We've over 100 great guys and girls recruiting throughout the country. We're spread across four or five offices, depending on and many more people working remotely. We've had a great year. It's been the team have done very well. Certainly the start of the year when there was so much uncertainty around tariffs, you know, it actually went very well.
Okay.
And what we've noticed probably in the last quarter is things have started to cool a little bit in some sectors. So a lot of the multinational sectors that are showing a bit more caution. But the domestic sectors and the construction, etc., are gangbusters.
So the softening of something like tech is sort of being compensated or displaced by a rise in people working in construction or construction-related professions.
Healthcare, anything where domestic policy and essential services, you know, there's a lot of, and there's a lot of strong Irish SMEs who are really taking the opportunity to grow. So we've seen SME demand really accelerate right
here. Okay, stay with us, Frank. Our next guest is Rachel Tubridy, Managing Director of PeopleSource. Rachel, you're very welcome to the program. Tell us about you and your business, if you would.
Thanks, Bobby. PeopleSource has been going for 10 years. We specialise in finance recruitment only, so stick to our knitting.
A purist.
That's all. Yes. So finance recruitment going 10 years.
Okay. And when you focus and micro-focus as you do in a particular sector, so it's finance people, but the finance people might be working in many different sectors.
Yes. So it's finance people into, if you've got a finance department in your business, that's what I recruit into, and that's what PeopleSource do. Anything outside of financial services.
And tell me then, around that market, you know, there's been lots of, I suppose, disruptions, AI being one, and but if we talk about, I suppose, a finance role that's quite numeric, it's quite systemized, it might be quite IT-based, is there a worry that that's a whole sector that could be affected negatively by AI?
Yeah, I'd say two things. The biggest thing that's affected any sector, I think, is the hybrid working. That's number one. But the second thing, certainly from a finance perspective, would be maybe the more entry-level roles. People who are doing, say, you know, fairly basic roles, are processes that can be automated.
Yeah,
that's
so
the problem.
That's generally then, as you say, at the entry
or the level,
the less paid part of that.
Yeah, and I'll just give an example there. James Reid, who owns the biggest recruitment agency in the UK, they notice now, I know it's a UK stat, but it's still a fairly important stat, The graduate recruitment jobs in 2021 was 180,000. Here we are in 2024, and it's down to 55,000.
Wow.
So that's a huge number.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute, Rachel. Let me introduce our third guest, Elaine Brady. She's the managing partner of Barden and Leinster. You're very welcome to the programme, Elaine. Tell us about your business. I know you across accounting, legal, tax, all at IT.
Absolutely. So look, thank you for having me, Bobby. So I'm Elaine Brady and I'm the managing partner and co-founder of Barden. We are a partner-led talent advisory and recruitment firm. We have offices across Dublin, Cork and Waterford. And I suppose we have three main areas of expertise. So the first being essentially professional services, so which is essentially accounting, tax and legal. Then our second pillar is technology, which incorporates transformation and change, projects and change. And then the final one being executive search. And we're Ireland's only B Corp certified executive search firm.
B Corp and recruitment. I have to think about that one. But there you go. So, and tell me, how's your world? How busy are you?
To be fair, similar to kind of Frank and to Echo Frank's, I mean, we've had a very, very good year overall, you know. So, and again, I think with the uncertainty of the first half of the year, with tariffs, until we got clarification on it, we were probably a little bit concerned about what may or may not happen. But there has been a good, steady, consistent and continuation of recruitment the whole way through the year. And I think, you know, that, again, kind of not similar to Frank's point is, while, of course, there have been redundancies and very vocal ones across certain sectors, it has been very, it has been more than made up, right, in terms of other areas and certain areas being very, very, very buoyant. And, you know, and if you look, we have the unemployment rate has gone to 5% from 4%, you know, we are still in an exceptionally buoyant market.
Frank, Rachel mentioned those stats there about the graduates. Surely that's a bad bellwether for, you know, young folk coming into the market. Some of those folk, if their graduate opportunities aren't there, are likely to go elsewhere, to other countries.
Yes, but I think it's a global thing. And again, they've been hit by a double whammy. So it's not just graduates, it's entry-level roles. There's been a temporary slowdown because of economic caution. And then you have the permanent structural shift driven mainly by AI. Mm-hmm. So some of those jobs will come back, but many won't. So
okay.
Grads will have to adapt, relocate, as you said. And one thing we know, because there's a housing shortage here in Dublin, 88% of the jobs in Ireland created were outside of Dublin. So now it's not just relocating internationally, Bobby. You might relocate to elsewhere in the country.
So what you're saying then is that because of the availability of housing and the high cost of living in the Dublin urban area, there's opportunities presenting themselves outside the pale, effectively.
Absolutely. And again, I know there's housing shortages throughout the country, but it is interesting that government policy over the last, you know, 10 years to drive that regional development is really bearing fruit over the last 12, 24 months.
Yeah.
And I think, Bobby, if I might, even just to add to that around, say, the graduates and the decline in graduate numbers. So if you take, say, Big Four, right, it's always a really good bellwether of graduate demand because they are... They recruit the highest number of graduates every single year. So if you look at the number of intake, say, this year versus 21-22, it's down probably by 20%.
Across the Big Four.
Across the Big Four. Okay. Yeah. So, and you can look at that and say, oh, AI and automation. But I think to kind of point out, that's one portion of it. You know, we've seen huge consolidation across professional services backed by PE money. And what happens when there's PE money ultimately means you've got to do more for less.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So while AI is a portion of it, I think it's only one pillar of what's kind of going on in the graduate market.
Rachel, let's look at some of the positives around AI. Are CVs better now than they ever were because of AI? Or are they...
In short, no.
No. So you still need to see the human side of... And this is where, you know, when you're in a people business... That human contact is surely critical.
It's absolutely essential. And people always say, with the, I suppose, introduction of LinkedIn, then you won't need recruitment consultants. Or with the introduction of job boards, you won't need recruitment consultants. AI will replace a process. It won't replace the judgment side of it or the personality side of it. So recruitment's here to stay, everybody, because of personalities.
Yes. Rachel, can I ask you something else? I was talking to a graduate recently who was on the shortlist for three technology jobs and had been, I think, to 6 interviews in one place, 7 in the other, yeah. And I can't remember, but it was high for the third one.
Yeah. All unnecessary.
And I'm just saying, is,
some many
is that not a waste? And that seems to be quite prevalent, if you don't mind me saying so.
It is.
But is that not a waste of everybody's time? Particularly if you go through 7 or 8 interviews and then you get a no.
But if you go through 7 or 8, the biggest waste is you're going through 7 or 8 interviews and that candidate's been asked the same question. And our same set of questions. By different people. Tell us about yourself. You know, why do you want to join this company? They're all asked the same questions. That's usually, unfortunately, in larger companies.
When you're asked about your weaknesses, you say, I just work too hard.
Oh, yeah. Honesty. Honesty is my biggest weakness, yes.
Frank, what about the CV? And you know, if... Can you tell if a CV has been AI enhanced?
Yes, usually, unless they're brilliant at using it. But like, you get a lot of sort of polished fiction or AI slop. So you have the two sides. You have people who, you know, they can get it, put a job spec in and say, tailor my CV to this. And then they go, and it becomes a fabrication.
Yeah.
So that's too much. And then there's certain words. There's also other people who trust AI too much. You know, so they're not used to AI and they put it in and they get this, you know, AI slop, which is lovely prose, but it means nothing.
Yeah.
So again, you want people to be authentic, and again, authentic works. And as the girl said, recruiter's job now is a lot more about validation, because employers are putting some of those CVs through AI finders and saying, oh, that's 50% AI, no thanks.
Yeah.
So they have to be careful. Candidates have to be careful, and recruiters have to give them advice. Be authentic.
What about, again, getting noticed, Rachel, if AI is doing the screening of a CV, you know, how do you make sure that you actually get to the interview, in terms of, like, if it's a machine that's picking out who's the best shortlist?
It's very hard. Often candidates are applying on big media platforms. I'm going to say social media platforms and not name any in particular. But they're applying and they feel that their CV goes into an abyss. And that works on both sides. Like, I might put a job up and advertise for a CFO. I get 250 responses to it. There's not 250 people who can do that job. So you have to regret an awful lot of them.
And the other thing is there, you know, at least getting the regret, you know, there's a whole courtesy thing around, if you get 250 applications, that should mean that there's 250 responses.
Well, there are 250 automated responses.
Yeah, that,
you know,
go
back
saying...
Because otherwise, it's too much work. You know, not too much work. Sorry, that sounds really bad, but it's that's where you bring in AI again.
Yeah.
You say, look, that's a task that can be done rather than me doing personally all the time.
Yeah. You mentioned, Elaine, about blended professions and maybe the evolution of that.
Yeah.
Give me some examples of that. Does that mean that if I'm an accountant that I have a law degree, that I might do some kind of specific type of job that encompasses both legal and accounting?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think what we're probably seeing in terms of the evolution of kind of the workforce and kind of skills is that there are organisations and they're looking for, I suppose, people who sit across many different areas. You know, so kind of gone is the day where the accountant just kind of closed the books. You know, what they're looking for now is people who can sit on, you know, in kind of a hybrid role with an opportunity where they maybe have technology skills, where they, you know, where they can work on transformation, you know. So, so really the workforce and the skills required in the workforce has evolved. And I think we've seen probably more of a shift in the last 2 years from that perspective than maybe we've seen in the previous 10.
What this is all telling me is that the need for upskilling and reskilling and making sure that you're that you stay in tandem with whatever market you're in, because they're all changing so much, you got to be sure that you're qualified, that you may have to change your qualifications as you go.
Yeah, it's adapt or get left behind.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
We've got a few texts in. Let's have a look at them. I'm looking to move on into a new role, but my current employer has tied me into a 3-month notice period. Is there any way around this, or is a 3-month notice period rare/common? That comes from Thomas in County Meath.
It's common. It's common enough, I think. Yeah, in 2022, I think because the market was so buoyant, a lot of clients changed their contracts to include a 3-month notice period. So there,
I always think that this kind of works two ways. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if you're an employer, the last thing you want is some person rocking in and saying, I'm leaving in next week.
Mm. It's protection for both the employer and the employee. I do think as well that 3 months is substantially more prevalent at the mid to senior management level. So it would still be very unusual at a junior level or graduate level where it does still tend to be a standard 1 month. But 3 months is very, very common.
Plus there's the upside if you're saying goodbye or the employer says goodbye to you, you've got 3 months that you wouldn't have.
Yep.
And you can go and get another job.
But also, it's the time to negotiate. Right. The time to negotiate the notice period is not when you hand in your notice. It's probably when you that emotional has left, and you can kind of say, "Look, like if I do this handover, maybe I can leave in two."
Yeah.
And most employers, to be fair, will negotiate.
Yeah, they will negotiate.
Now, here's a good one: fellow recruiters and headhunters should encourage younger people, especially, to get into the office full time because they are missing out on learning soft skills and building their working personality. You will never end up at senior level in a company without these skills. A CV should be a guide to a candidate rather than a decision on the person's suitability. I think that's quite logical. What do you think of that, Frank?
Yeah, we were talking about this outside. Is that how can we make recruiters, you know, productive faster when they're working remotely? And the answer is you can't. They do have to learn. And I think Rachel used the word osmosis. You know, you learn not just from your manager, you learn from people talking in the office. Mm-hmm. And certainly it is a big challenge, and it's a very big challenge. Thankfully in recruitment, Bobby, we have the world's first degree level apprenticeship in recruitment.
Which is great.
It's magic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they come in and they not only learn from their office, they learn from their peers and they learn from the best minds in world recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the work from home thing, Rachel. I think you said that, you know, you've got the genie is out of the bottle. Anybody who's experienced work from home really doesn't want to go back.
They don't want to go back to commute, for sure.
But companies seem to be in denial around this in terms of, you know, if I make the office a great place, if I give them free food and beer and I do all these things, that maybe they don't want to come back.
It's not going to get over the traffic jams in the morning. It's not going to get over the hour commute either side of the day. You know, none of that. We've all agreed, we all feel that it's going to land on 3 days in the office.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I think we need to nearly admit that.
Want.
What if the market, you know, becomes more employer-led than employee? Because I'd suggest at the moment the employee is in probably a good place. Now, maybe not in some sectors, Frank, but that the employee is in a better negotiation. If that were to change and we were...
But I think we've got the technology to allow people work from home, even if it, you know... And the moment you say 5 days in the office, you've probably excluded 90% of the talent pool.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep it that narrow, then off you go.
Yeah,
fill your boots with that 10%.
And also then if you have a policy and you want to change it, people are saying, you know, well, I used to be able to go in 1 day a week. Now you're asking me to come in 3 days. I'm going to look for another job.
And they will, and they might get that 1 day. It's unusual to get the 1 day. Like, I have an example of a girl coming back from Australia. I was looking at a job with her for 5 days a week. She said, on reflection, Rachel, I do not want to do 5 days a week in the office. 3 days later, she texted me to say, I got a job doing 2 days in the office.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Last word to you, Elaine. In terms of the landscape going forward, there's been pluses, there's been minuses, there's been technology disruptions. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still a people business and it's still a buoyant one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we enter next year with probably cautious optimism.
Right.
You know, we know that we know from plenty of reports that are released that I think 25% of organisations plan on increasing their hiring next year. You know, and again, yeah, that will be across a variety of different sectors and a variety of different industries by different professions. But I think for sure that we are going into next year definitely with optimism for sure.
All right, and we didn't even talk about fees, but there you go. We'll keep that for another day. I'd like to thank my guest, Frank Farley. He's the CEO and co-founder of Sigmar Recruitment. Rachel Tubberly, the Managing Director of PeopleSource. And Elaine Brady, Managing Partner at Barden Leinster. Thank you so much for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.